Two Wrongs Don't Make a Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast that yells, fill her up and check the oil at the gas station. And now, he preferred shindig over hullabaloo. It's Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Well, 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 look what we have here. It's another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We're here to help you feel really, really good about the impending Medicare deadlines that you're probably looking at, maybe in the future, maybe off into the distant future, maybe not so distant, in which case you better contact me for help in getting your Medicare enrollment organized and getting your Medicare supplement applied for and your Medicare prescription drug plan. I can help you with all of those things, and I look forward to doing that. If you need help, I'm your boy, and I'm happy to do it. We have a whole series of podcast episodes all based on helping you feel confident about that Medicare crossover. And they're all based on the book that I started writing years ago and that I update every year, even though they take away all my reviews on Amazon and make it look like nobody reads the book. In reality, the book has sold tons and tons of copies, and it is called Medicare for the Lazy Man. The current edition is 2022. So it's got the green 2022 on the cover, and it's the simplest and easiest guide ever. If you go to barnesandnoble.com, you'll find a paperback edition available for, I think, $9 with some nice, pretty, colorful illustrations. If you go to amazon.com, you'll find four completely different editions. All the contents are the same, but what you have is a hardcover book, a paperback book, a Kindle ebook version, and an Audible book, where you get to hear me reading the book to you. So any of those things is going to make you a Medicare expert beyond all reasonable expectations. You're going to be probably the most knowledgeable Medicare person on your block. Remember how the kids used to be the envious of the first kid on the block to get like a Slinky or whatever? Well, you're going to be the first kid on your block to get ironclad, bulletproof Medicare knowledge. Now, who's going to help bring that Medicare knowledge to you? Besides me, it's going to be Randy Carson, the podcast engineer par excellence. Hello, Randy. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm really good, Doug. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You ended the last episode, or maybe it was after the last episode ended, with some thoughts about high altitude existence. And I didn't want you to forget to bring that up. I thought it might be an interesting observation for people that live back in our former homelands, the flat, you know, lands.
Well, the altitude of Nebraska isn't all that high.
Oh, same in Illinois.
That's a great question. I don't know what the altitude of Nebraska is. I think it's pretty low. I know it's not under sea level, but I don't think it's very high above it.
No, in Illinois, my part of Illinois was in the neighborhood of 700 to 800 feet above sea level. And I'll bet Nebraska, your part of Nebraska was probably lower than that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I lived there my whole life up until the time I moved out to Arizona, which, you know, Cave Creek, is it about 2,700?
Yeah, right around there. And Phoenix is 1,000 feet lower. And we were talking about the difference in temperature. Cave Creek is actually 3 to 5 degrees cooler than Phoenix on a given day,
by
virtue of its altitude.
Of course, where your Fortress of Solitude is, I mean, you're up around 16,000, aren't you?
That's what I tell people so they don't drop in on me. It's really not nearly that high. I'm really much closer to that 2,800 or 2,700 feet you were talking about. But it did. When you mentioned this, it did remind me of a little story. And you said you like my stories. Most people don't say that.
But I love your stories.
You've opened yourself up to another story, and because of the Oklahoma in me, I cannot stop myself, but this will be real short. We always used to ride around the country in old Corvettes, old guys in old Corvettes, as you know. So one time we were taking a Corvette trip, and we came from all parts of the country, so we would meet someplace. In this case, we're going to meet at Lake Tahoe, and we rented a 15,000 square foot party house up on Donner Pass. And it was a fantastic week we spent there. And frankly, there were 8 master bedroom suites in this house and all kinds of fun recreational stuff. And so we didn't have to spend a ton of money for this place, but it was, you know, the cost of an Hampton Inn or something like that. But it was a really nice. So on the way, we picked up, it was like Taras Bulba riding across the steppes of Russia, gathering his forces as he went. You know, we'd be driving along, and then another one of our group would join us, and then another one of our group. So we had about 4 or 5 of us heading across Colorado. We get to Colorado. We stayed in Colorado Springs. And the next morning, somebody said, let's drive up to the top of Pikes Peak before we continue on. Now, Pikes Peak is 14,200 feet in the air. And so all 4, I think it was 4 or 5 of us in mid-60s Corvettes drove up to the top of Pikes Peak. Now, halfway up, they've got a guy in a guard shack. And I didn't really understand what the guy in the guard shack was doing. But basically, we get to the top of Pikes Peak, and there's just a big parking lot. You're above the tree line. Nothing grows there. And the air is very thin. The sky is almost black as you're looking at space. And as I pulled into an area that they had giant boulders so you wouldn't drive off the cliff, I realized my brake pedal went right to the floor. And so I put it in gear and, you know, turn it off.
This is not a good idea. When that happens, that's not a good idea.
It was not a good idea. I found out later what happened was I had a small little air bubble in one of my brake lines. But at 14,200 feet, that small little tiny bubble became huge. And it basically made the brakes into a giant sponge, which is not what brakes want to be. So we're taking pictures with each other, and, you know, hey, we're on Pikes Peak, and a couple of the guys are going kind of wacky. And I know I had a moment of wackiness because I looked at this boulder that I parked next to, and I stared at it for a long time, trying to think of a rational explanation why there would be one flip-flop laying on top of this boulder. I don't know why, but it fascinated me. And I think it was the lack of oxygen or the altitude. So anyway, as we gathered to plan our departure from Pikes Peak, I said, by the way, guys, just want you to know that I don't have any brakes. And so they had a quick meeting and decided I would get to go first. And
I was going to say, what? Well, we're going to let Doug go first.
They sold it to me like it was an advantage of some kind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Doug's going, yeah. Thanks, guys.
So I've got the nice TKO 600 5-speed overdrive transmission that didn't have that many miles on it. And so I basically started down the mountain, never touched the brake pedal. I did it all with the clutch and with the transmission, and I maintained a relatively safe speed. My wife is looking for the speed dial number she had for her attorney or divorce attorney. And she's alternately doing that and screaming at me to slow down. And as gravity is pulling us down towards the center of the earth. And we got down to where that guy in the guard shack is. And I realized what the guy was doing. The guy steps out of his guard shack every time somebody comes up. He tells them to stop. And he points an IR gun at their wheels to see if they've been riding their brakes instead of using engine, you know, downshifting. And
what brakes?
Yeah, well. Everybody in front of me, all these other cars, leaned over and explained to them, don't ride your brakes, use a lower gear, put your transmission in L or whatever. And when I rolled up and managed to sort of slow down, he shot my wheels with his IR gun, gave me a big thumbs up, like, you really know what you're doing, buddy. I think my wheels were colder than the ambient air temperature at that point because I had not touched my brake pedal. And so we went down the rest of the way, and the lower I got in altitude, the better the brakes became. I actually reacquired some braking ability. But that was maybe the day that Mary will remember even more than the running out of gas out in Elburn, Illinois episode.
Yeah, about that time when you're coming down off Pikes Peak Road, what at the high end where you've got, you know, like an air bubble the size of Cleveland in your brake lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you wishing maybe you had a like an anchor to throw out? Or
it turns out that my brand new TKO 600 transmission was quite adequate for me to drive 14,200 feet straight down in low gears at not too scary a speed. So wow. that part worked out pretty well. I had no idea how successful it would be. I mean, frankly, I was just thinking, let's get this over with. I suppose we could have jacked up the rear end of the car and bled the brakes up on top of Pike's Peak to try to get some brake function back. But that didn't occur to me. It was more like, let's get off this mountain and maybe things will improve by themselves.
Yeah.
And you froze up a little bit there. I was hoping it wasn't an editorial comment about my choices in life.
No, it's good.
Once again, we've chewed up about a half to a third of our normal goal.
Well, we've got the time. We've got half of the time left, which is what we usually allot for it. So I'm gonna turn it back over to you. We probably should start talking some Medicare here, and for sure Medicare supplement, because that's the area of Medicare. Doug is the undisputed expert.
Well, in this case, since so many Medicare participants are worried about, I thought I would get the latest news item I could find about long COVID. That seems to be a big topic of discussion. And in fact, my daughter-in-law in Texas has a case of long COVID, and she's much, much younger than me. And so I wanted to learn about it, and I wanted to learn together with the audience. So let me see how far I get in this multi-page article about long COVID. And the headline, this is a new article, by the way, this is from May 31st. So it was 9 days ago, 9 days old. The headline is, got long COVID? Medical expertise is vital, and seniors, that's us, I guess, seniors, dopes. I hate the word seniors. People should prepare to go slow. So the story starts out, older adults who have survived COVID-19 are more likely than younger patients to have persistent symptoms such as fatigue, breathlessness, muscle aches, and heart palpitations, headaches, joint pain, and difficulty with memory and concentration. Problems linked to long COVID. And while I was reading through that lengthy list of symptoms, it reminded me of the scene in Airplane where they're describing the food poisoning symptoms that the pilots are about to go through. And as somebody is ticking them off, it's like he's going through every single symptom in rapid succession. But I'll get back to the serious COVID discussion here. It can be hard to distinguish the lingering after effects of COVID from conditions common in older adults, such as lung disease, heart disease, and mild cognitive impairment. There are no diagnostic tests or recommended treatments for long COVID, and the biological mechanisms that underlie its effects remain poorly understood. Identifying long COVID in older adults with other medical conditions is tricky, says a doctor. Failing to do so means older COVID survivors might not receive appropriate care. What should older adults do if they don't feel well weeks after becoming ill with the virus? I asked a dozen experts for advice, and here's what they suggested. Oh boy, here's an excellent suggestion. Seek medical attention. All right, we could see that one coming down Fifth Avenue. If an older person...
Wow, I never would have thought of that.
You look shocked, Randy, at that particular...
I am.
Seek medical attention seems so academic, but yet so elementary. If an older person or their caregiver is noticing that it's been a month or two since COVID and something isn't right, if they've lost a lot of weight or if they're extremely weak or forgetful, it's worth going in for an evaluation, this doctor said. He's the director of geriatric hospitalist service at Northwell Health, a large health system in New York. Hospitalist. That's a new one to me. But be forewarned, many primary care physicians are at a loss as to how to identify and manage long COVID. If you're not getting much help from your doctor, consider getting a referral to a specialist who sees long COVID patients or a long COVID clinic. Also, be prepared to be patient. Waits for appointments are lengthy. At least 66 hospitals or health systems has created interdisciplinary clinics, according to Becker's Hospital Review, an industry publication. For people who don't live near one of these, virtual consultations are often available. For specialist referrals, ask whether the physician has experience with long COVID patients. Also, more than 80 medical centers in more than 30 states are enrolling patients in a four-year, $1.15 billion study of long COVID that is being funded by the National Institutes of Health and is known as RECOVER, which stands for Researching COVID to Enhance Recovery. Okay, that's a nice little acronym. Older adults who choose to participate will receive ongoing medical attention. My daughter-in-law is not older, but she is involved in a study at the University of Texas to evaluate and treat her long COVID case. And, you know, she's a school marm in Texas, and she can't teach because of her long COVID symptoms. Excuse me. And so I'm hoping that her study that she's involved in will produce some results. So anyway, pursue comprehensive care is another suggestion. At the University of Southern California's COVID Recovery Clinic, physicians start by making sure that any underlying medical conditions that older patients might have, for instance, heart failure or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, are well controlled. Also, they check for new conditions that may have surfaced after a COVID infection. If pre-existing and new conditions are properly managed and further tests come back negative, there's probably an element of long COVID, said this physician at the Keck School of Medicine. At that point, the focus becomes helping older adults regain the ability to manage daily tasks such as showering, dressing, moving around the house, and shopping. Wow. So the first four things, showering, dressing, moving around the house, and then shopping? They seem completely divorced from it. Oh, well, okay. Typically, several months of physical therapy, occupational therapy, or cognitive rehabilitation are prescribed. I know some people that shopping is like second nature to them. They wouldn't need really to have any therapy in order to prepare for shopping. So Dr. Erica Spatz, an associate professor of cardiology at Yale, looks for evidence of organ damage, such as changes in the heart muscle in older patients, if that's detected. There are well-established treatments that can be tried. The older a person is, the more likely we are to find organ injury. At the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab in Chicago, boy, a rehab hospital, experts have discovered that a significant number of patients with breathing problems have atrophy in the diaphragm, a muscle that's essential to breathing. Oh, that's a scary thought. Once inflammation is under control, breathing exercises help patients build back the muscle. For older adults concerned about their cognition after COVID, Dr. McCauley recommends a neuropsychological exam. Plenty of older patients who've had COVID feel like they now have dementia, but when they do the testing, all their higher level cognitive function is intact. It's things like attention or cognitive fluency that are impaired, she said. It's important to understand where deficits are so we can target therapy appropriately. And another suggestion is become active gradually. Older patients tend to lose strength and fitness after severe illness, a phenomenon known as deconditioning, and their blood volume and heart muscles will start shrinking in a few weeks if they lie in bed or get little activity. So I guess taking a nap every afternoon is probably not a good idea, huh? That can cause dizziness or a racing heart upon standing up. In line with the recent recommendations from the American College of Cardiology, Spatz advises patients who have developed these symptoms after COVID to drink more fluids. Okay, I can have that much more beer then. That's a good suggestion. Yep, Randy's going, yep, Guinness for me. Consume more salt. I love to put salt on my food, and I'm tired of getting nasty looks across the dining table. So that's excellent. And also wear compression socks and abdominal binders. That doesn't sound quite as much fun. I often hear that going for a walk feels awful. When returning to exercise, start with 5 to 10 minutes on a recumbent bicycle or a rower and add a couple of minutes every week. 5 to 10 minutes I could handle. After a month or two, I might have a different opinion. After a month, move to a semi-recumbent position on a standard bike. Then after another month, try walking a short distance at first and then go longer distances over time. This go slow advice also applies to older adults with cognitive concerns after COVID. Franz, I guess it's another one of these doctors, said, He often recommends restricting time spent on cognitively demanding tasks along with exercises for brain health and memory. At least early on, people need less activity and more cognitive rest. And then another suggestion is reset expectations. Older adults typically have a harder time bouncing back from serious illness, including COVID. But even seniors who had a mild or moderate reaction to the virus can find themselves struggling weeks or months later. The most important message older patients get, or they need to hear, older patients need to hear, is give yourself time to recover. Generally, older adults appear to be taking longer to recover from long COVID than younger or middle-aged adults, he noted. Learning how to set priorities and not do too much too quickly is essential. In this patient population, we find that having patients grit their teeth and push themselves will actually make them worse, a phenomenon known as post-exertional malaise. And I'm not even going to tell you the name of this doctor because it's a lengthy, multisyllabic nightmare. So he says, or she, instead, people need to learn how to pace themselves. Any significant health event forces people to re-examine their expectations and their priorities. And long COVID has really accelerated that. Everyone I see feels that it's accelerated their aging process. Consider vulnerabilities. That's, I think, the last of their suggestions in this article. Consider vulnerabilities. Older adults who have had COVID and who are poor, frail, physically or cognitively disabled, and socially isolated are of considerable concern. This group has been more likely to experience severe effects from COVID, and those who survive may not readily access healthcare services. We all share concern about marginalized seniors, marginalized people, shall we say, with limited healthcare access and poorer overall health status. Sprinkle a new dangerous pathology that is not well understood on top of that, and you have a recipe for greater disparities in care. A lot of older, long COVID patients we deal with aren't accustomed to asking for help, and they think perhaps it's a little shameful to be needy. By this doctor in Tennessee, that's his statement. So the implications are significant, not only for the patients, but also for the healthcare providers, friends, and family. You really have to check in with people who are older and vulnerable and who have had COVID and not just make assumptions that they're just fine because they tell you they are. We need to be more proactive in engaging them and finding out really how they are. All right. Well, that's the end of that article. And I would have to say that that went faster than I thought it was going to. I wonder if I accidentally missed a page in there. Randy, did it get as long and boring as you thought it was going to be?
No, I think it was very interesting. I think there was a lot of good information in there. I saw myself in a number of those different items for long COVID.
You had an episode, but I didn't know that you might be suffering long COVID.
Well, I think one of them in there that I identified real quickly was I'm still old.
Yeah, that's true. You didn't get any younger after you recovered, did
you? No, darn it. I didn't. I went to my doctor, my GP, and I said, I think I've got long COVID. I have all of these different problems. He goes, no, you had those before. You're old.
Well, it's nice to at least have put a name to the symptoms. You know exactly what the diagnosis is.
I had some other things I was going to bring up today about monkeypox and COVID tests and all that good stuff, but we are out of gas, and I think we ought to let her float into the dock here and sign off, and I'll save my monkeypox comments for next time.
Well, I'll give you a report on our daughter-in-law's long COVID progress because Mary is going to be spending this weekend in Texas, so that'll be she'll come back with a full report.
Well, obviously, I wish her well because I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So
yeah. Before the name long COVID ever existed, you were thrashing around, and it took you a long time to drag yourself back. I just thought you had fully recovered. I didn't realize that you might.
I'm teasing. I'm fine. Oh, okay. I tried to go out and run a marathon last week, and I couldn't.
Oh, well, you know something? I think you're better off not having done that.
There's no way. It's like the old joke. Hey, Doc, will I still be able to play piano? And he'll say, sure. I do this to my GP every time I go. He'll go, sure, you can play piano. And I go, good.
because I couldn't before.
I did that to an emergency room guy, and it was perfect. It was like it couldn't have been planned any better. Once in a while in your life, something, the stars align and the joke works perfectly. I was I had smashed my finger on a power tool, and so of course I got all cleaned up, took a shower, you know, and went to the emergency room. And this doctor, who I believe was maybe from Southeast Asia, like in India.
Oh yeah, okay.
And he was very solicitous. And this was like the first time I'd ever seen a foreign doctor in my local hospital. We were very provincial back then. And so he said, "Oh, listen, here's the x-ray. You can see the bone in your finger is broken, but it will heal by itself." And I said, "Well, doctor, once it heals, will I be able to play the piano?" And he said, oh, yes, you'll be able to play the piano just fine." Well, meanwhile, the nurse is behind him and she's going,
she knows what's coming.
Knew it was coming. She saw it coming down Fifth Avenue, and she was so excited when they heard the delivery, but she let me do it. She didn't jump in. And I said, "Well, that's strange because I can't play the piano now." And he looked at me like, "What planet are you from?"
Oh, I love it. You know, sometimes, you know, all the stars align and it just happens. And that was one of those times.
That worked for me. I do have another time like that that happened with friends in the car, so that there are witnesses, but I'll tell that story another time.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. As always, we love every minute that we spend with you, because you could have been, oh, I don't know, 150,000 other places, but you weren't. You were here.
You could be up on top of Pikes Peak with no brakes.
Yeah, with no brakes, with a big air bubble in your brake lines. Yeah. That would be an exciting way to start your day. Ooh, you but let's not do that. Yeah, let's not do that every day.
No.
But we love every minute we spend with you, because without you, it's not nearly as much fun. You could have been anywhere. Like Doug said, Pikes Peak, no brakes. You could have been anywhere. But you weren't. You were here with us on the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast with Doug Jones, a legitimate licensed Medicare expert. So write that down. Go get your books, go get your audios, go get your Kindles, get whatever you need. But anyway, Doug has just spoken to you from the Fortress of Solitude. I think you're at about 14,000 feet, aren't you?
I think it's a little optimistic. I'm closer to the center of Cave Creek, which is maybe 2,800, 2,900 feet. But, you know, still cooler than Phoenix.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. So I'll save my long COVID stories for next week.
I want to hear them. Write it down.
I got monkeypox stories. I've got Dr. Fauci monkeypox stories. I've got all kinds of stuff.
It's going to be a thrill-packed episode. I'll get my mask ready. If we're going to talk about Fauci, I'm going to wear my mask.
Fauci is the head governmental fearmonger.
Yes.
That's the title.
And mask Nazi.
That's right. So anyway, we need to sign her off. Thanks for joining us. And I am going to let you have it, Doug, for the last few comments.
Bye-bye.